Welcome to the Pastor's Thoughts and, of course, prayer. We always close this segment recognizing prayer needs and always close it with the Lord's Prayer, the prayer that Jesus taught those disciples when they asked him, Lord, can we pray and how do we do it? Oh, yeah, you can. You can talk to the Father. Oh, wow. Yeah, that's a wonderful thing that Jesus taught us about that. But the other time is over in John 17, where not only he taught us to pray, but in John 17, he actually prayed for you and I, specifically, his disciples, the ones that he came to serve. That is so special. So that's also called the Lord's Prayer. Well, I've been thinking. I don't know about this thinking stuff. But the joy of the Lord is my strength. You know, I like to sing. I can't sing. But I was wondering about joy and happiness. I, like most people in this challenging world, I run across stuff. And, you know, kind of once you think, well, the devil just trying to steal my joy. Well, he can do that. You know, he's like a roaring lion seeking to destroy all that he can. But if you keep the difference between joy and happiness, that's an important thing. I don't think there's an explicit difference between happiness and joy, because both involve emotions. Do you know we got emotions? Yep, we sure do. But joy and happiness are really pleasurable feelings. And I think both are mentioned in Scripture that equates to the two. So you think about it. I love the dictionary. I don't know. We use the dictionary much anymore. But the dictionary definition of happiness is this: a state of well-being, a pleasurable, satisfying experience. Then the definition for the word rejoice relates to the word joy. And it is to feel great, delight, and be glad. Depending on the different translations, the Bible uses words like happy and happiness about 30 times, while joy and rejoice appear over 300 times in the Bible. The prophet Jeremiah in 31:13 said, I will turn their mourning into gladness. I will give them the comfort of joy instead of sorrow. Now here is the parallel of Hebrew poetry. The words gladness and joy are used synonymously. And then over in Proverbs, really great book. We were studying the book of Proverbs before COVID. We never got up to chapter 23. But chapter 23, verse 25 says, let your father and your mother be glad, and let her rejoice who gave you birth. Bring glad is the same thing as rejoicing in this verse. Unless we're willing to say that gladness and happiness are completely different things, then we must say that joy and happiness are linked. Well, I think it's common for a lot of folks today that like to speak of the difference between joy and happiness. There's a lot of miserable people in the world, and that's kind of sad. There are emotions, too. But you know, you don't have to be miserable. You kind of just got to let all the challenges of life roll off of you like a water rolls off a duck back. And that's not as easy as it sounds. But don't let people steal your joy. Well, happiness is a feeling, but joy is not. Happiness is fleeting, but joy is everlasting. Happiness depends on circumstances and other people, but joy is a gift from God Almighty. So happiness is worldly, but joy is divine. Wow. But there is no such distinction made in Scripture, and forcing a distinction between two words that are so obviously close in meaning is really unnecessary. Now, we love to sing those little vacation Bible school songs, and the joy of the Lord is my strength. And if you're happy and you know it, let your face show it. You know, all them crazy things. Well, if a person is joyful, then he or she's happy. It says in the Beatitudes, I like that because it's translated, blessed are those And it says, blessed means happiness. Happy are those. Well, there's no such thing as a glum joy. We cannot drain joy of emotion and still call it joy, because when God's Spirit gives us the joy, then we're happy people. You'll be happy and you know it. Amen. Well, maybe I'm writing some new songs. I don't know. But Christians should be joyful. Happiness should characterize our everyday life. In James chapter 1, verse 2 says, consider it all joy, my brothers, when you encounter various trials. Trials can make you happy? Yeah, consider it joy. Because we can learn from trials. And then we ask Jesus to help us through the trials. So Christians can be happy, yeah, even in the midst of difficulties. Because we know the testing of our faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete and lacking in nothing. That's what Scripture promises. So as we persevere through trials and with God's help, our faith straightens and we are maturing in the faith. And with God's grace, we can be happy despite our circumstances. Nothing makes the devil madder than to give God glory for something he thinks he should have. He's out there trying to mess you all up. And, you know, you just say, well, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you for letting me see that. Thank you for teaching me and helping me understand. And I give you the glory. See, joy is often presented as true contentment based on faith. Happiness, in contrast, is often thought of a fake or superficial emotion, depending on the circumstances. But this is a false dichotomy. There is nothing in the Bible that suggests we divorce joy from happiness. The two are equal. Of course, there are many types of joy and happiness. I realize that. There is joy that comes from the world, such as fleeting pleasures of sin, spoken in Hebrews 11. Well, there is joy, and that is part of the fruit of the Spirit, which is over in Galatians 5. And there is temporary happiness and eternal happiness. And we can call them both happiness. We don't need to split hairs between the meaning of joy and happiness. We just need to decide where our joy comes from. Are we happy in the Lord? Are we content with the happiness the world affords? You know, you got a choice, good and evil, happiness and joy. Can you have them both? Yes, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Solomon, I talked about Solomon in my Old Testament reading today. Solomon was the world's greatest brand of happiness. And what he did is he found it to be lacking. He said, I said to myself, now come, I will test you with pleasure to find out what is good. But that also proved to be meaningless. Laughter, I said, is madness. And what does pleasure accomplish? Well, I talked about it in chapter 1, and this is Ecclesiastes 2, verses 1 and 2. So the joy of the world is hollow, but the joy of the Lord is rich and abundant. The world's happiness will fade away in time, but God's people will be happy forever. Well, I know for a long time I was a miserable pup. And that's what I liked that what Apostle Paul talked about, and I paraphrase it over Romans 7, that if we only had this life to look forward to, we'd all be a sorry bunch of puppies, miserable, you know, no hope. But because of the death and burial and resurrection, we not only have hope, but we got the promise of eternal life. Yeah, this life is challenging, but if we keep our eyes on the mark of the high calling and we know where we're going when this worldly life is over, it'll bring you some joy. Those the Lord has rescued will return. They will enter Zion with singing and everlasting joy and will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. Isaiah 35:10. Well, thank you for just letting me share a little bit, because sometimes I I'm thinking, well, I don't know if anybody gets anything out of some of these things that I do and my thoughts and prayers, but it gives me an opportunity to preach myself happy. Happy that you're here listening, and happy that I can take and understand and put the Word of God deep down in my heart so that I too can reflect and not get the devil messing me up, because I can get messed up real easy. So I just stop and I say, Lord, help me as I work through some of these things of this worldly stuff. And it's amazing, He does. So try it for yourself. Say, Lord, help me so that I don't get miserable. And He will. He'll open up your mind, and He'll open up your heart. You know, the longest 12 inches in the world is from the head to the heart. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. So I'm mumbling and grumbling down, but we do thank and praise you as Lord for listening to us as we verbalize things, and even sometimes prayers that we don't mention aloud, through the grace and love of the Holy Spirit, you hear them too. So we come into prayer of agreement with and for the ones that we know about, that we keep a list of the prayer concerns, and we lift them up to you. But we also thank you for the ones that are not mentioned aloud or written out. We know there's special prayers, and we ask that you touch your people with the peace that passes all understanding. As we close this segment with the prayer that Jesus taught to His disciples on how to pray, John 17 was when the Lord prayed for us. But He said, Lord, can we talk to the Father too? And Jesus said, yeah, here's your model. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And the evil one, some translations say. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Have a wonderful day in Jesus' name.